Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, and I wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 3 of Bill's story, and we are reading the second paragraph on the page, which begins, "My drinking assumed more serious proportions." Today's readers are Jeannie N., reading the 12 Steps, Debbie N., reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text is Susan G., Jody E., and Alex K. Our newcomer greeter towards the end of the meeting is Lois P., and making announcements will be Robin P. Thank you all for your service. The reference numbers for yesterday, Tuesday, February 13th, 10 a.m. Eastern meeting, was 21,128 or 21128. And for this morning's meeting at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the reference number is 21,131 or 21131. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jeannie N. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jeannie. Jeannie, press star 1 to unmute.
Thank you. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you and for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jeannie. And Debbie, and would you please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous?
Yes, good morning. My name is Deb E., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Montana, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group is fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may enjoy special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Deb E., and my apology for getting your name incorrectly before. Thank you for your service. Okay. How our meetings work. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 3, paragraph 2, and I will ask Susan G. to get us started. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Thank you so much. Good morning, everybody. This is Susan G. calling in from Los Angeles. Okay, page 3 in Bill's story. My drinking assumed more serious proportions, continuing all day and almost every night. The remonstrances of my friends terminated in a row, and I became a lone wolf. There were many unhappy scenes in our sumptuous apartment. There had been no real infidelity, for loyalty to my wife, helped at times by extreme drunkenness, kept me out of those scrapes. I identify a lot with these pages, having moved to America in my 20s, thinking I had arrived, that my life would be so different here. And then I met drive-throughs and nobody at home telling me how to eat and what to eat. And the progression in my experience is very, very aggressive. I never went on a diet to weigh 250 pounds plus. I just went on to have, you know, just a little nosh. I was just a little peckish, but it continued all day and all night. And when I read this chapter and I think of the amount of food that I could consume, and I had no stop button, I'd stop for a minute or two and think, okay, well, tomorrow. And I would have told you I wasn't a lone wolf. I went out, I was very, very social, but inside I was so alone because I had no idea why I couldn't stay stopped, why I was spending all this money to have all these different people help me, and I couldn't stay stopped. I never knew that I needed a power much, much greater than myself, which we will get into later on in this chapter. And there were many unhappy scenes, even living far away from my family. I was blowing up all of my relationships. Can't speak to the infidelity, but again, protesting my behavior all the time. Terminating all of those friendships, even though I thought I wasn't, because I bought you a nice present, I showed up at your house, I cleaned up your kitchen while I was eating the food off of all of your plates. And again, permanent, progressive, and fatal. And this, for me, is all about the progression. These pages, that's what they show me. Almost every day and every night, I couldn't stop. I would get out of bed and have all these little plans and designs that I had sorted out, from charts to different things written up to what I was going to do, how I was going to walk into a room. And they didn't last because, as we read later on in the book, my memory failed to keep me in check. I had amnesia when it came to this, and my ego was surging through it all. How did I need help? This was just quite simple. Just put down my fork, pick up a great diet, and I would be okay. So I'm looking forward to hearing back from all of you. Thank you, Kathy, for your service, and I'm going to pass there. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Susan G., for getting us started. Okay, now's the time for sharing. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back so others will have an opportunity to share. Who would like to share this morning?
Nancy J.
Nancy J.
Elaine B.
Elaine Bruce B. Bruce E.
Jeannie N.
Diana Y.
Okay, Jeannie N. Diana Y.
Jan L.
Jan
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Robin P.
Robin P. Okay, why don't we stop there? So I have Nancy J., Elaine B., Bruce E., Jeannie N., Diana Y., Jan L., Michelle F., and Robin P. What a great lineup. So let's begin now. If everyone would mute except Nancy J. Good morning, Nancy. Sorry.
No problem. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Nancy J. in California. Just want to start off with saying I'm so grateful here. Valentine's Day, and I'm not in an eating extravaganza due to loneliness. You know, I feel no loneliness today. What a miracle. So this paragraph just speaks to me of the morality that I lost in this disease and the donuts, you know, getting over on my taxes. If somebody accidentally gave me more change, it was payday. Woohoo! You know, that kind of behavior. This is the deepest and darkest, which I shared on my fourth step a lot of years ago, and I'm going to say it on in, right now. I was in a relationship when I was in the towards the end of it, and of my disease when I say end of it. And after 3 years of this horrible, toxic relationship, me and my love addiction, him and his narcissism, he told me, shared with me he was actually married. We lived a couple hours away. He worked in town, so that's when I saw him. 3 years. Tried to break it off because I was raised right. I knew better, but I couldn't do it. Because I just needed to have that hole filled up, you know, and at any cost. I'm not the other woman. I'm not that person. But I did it, boy. And wow. That is a freedom now that I'm out of that, this design of living, this spiritual change I've had in this program and working these steps many times over. And my most recent abstinence is almost 13 months now, and I'm just so grateful. I live such a clean life. I keep my nose so clean, I whistle. Not perfect by any stretch, but I know that I have to because I'll be face down in a Costco cake, you know. And not just that, I want to be clean today. And most importantly today, my up to current is I got to be honest about my food. You know, if I know something's got sugar in it, in my heart, and I eat it anyway, that's going to kill me. So for today, that honesty is broken down into a sauce that's on the chicken in a restaurant. I got to be honest with myself because I will die. And spiritual death is like, you know, you might as well not be here walking this earth. So I'm so grateful. Thank God for my abstinence. Thank God for this program, these steps. And I'm so happy to just be living a good, ethical, moral, best I can anyway, life today. And with that, I'll pass. Nancy J, California, call me. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nancy J, for sharing with us. Elaine B, please share with us.
Thank you so much for your faithful service, Kathy. I know you impact many, many lives, including mine. And so Valentine's Day, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. In 2013, I waited because then all of the boxes of candy would be on sale. In February 2013, I was in the midst of a terrible, terrible relapse. I had stuff hidden all over the house. They call this plain insanity. And my husband wrote me a letter. I didn't cheat on him, but there was somebody who was looking good. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe I'll go to some AA meetings because I think, you know, he's going to be there. You know, I'm trying to look for that ease and comfort just anywhere, you know. And so so what did I do? How did I show up for my husband? I didn't. I was in self-love run riot. I was eating. I had food, you know, candy hidden all over the house. I needed something sweet all of the time. I was in bad, bad, bad shape. And one day my husband wrote me a letter. And when I opened the letter and read it, I couldn't even handle it. I put it away. And on January 16th, I listened to a special edition. June 16th of 2013, a special edition. And it was titled, They Call This Plain Insanity. And when I heard what she said about her food, and I thanked the person who gave me that number for a vision for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know, and I couldn't see what I couldn't see. But then when I heard that story, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is what I need. And I hung in there with a vision for you, and it was quite some time that, you know, I got through the steps quickly, and about a year later, I ran into that letter again. You've taken on a new lover and its food. Divorce is not an option for us, but we'll live separately in this house. And I still couldn't handle it. I stuck it away. And about 2 years later, I found it again. And it was time. It was time to face the music. My brain was clear. Our life was good. Our relationship continues to grow. It's just amazing. I just can't even believe how good it can be. Not my relationship just with him, but my relationship with food, mostly my relationship with God. I took out the letter and I gave it to him. And he said that I had changed so much, he didn't even remember writing it. This is a miracle working program. You can achieve abstinence with God's help and this powerful community. And so if you're new, if you're struggling, keep coming back. Keep trying. Relapse is not impossible to get over, and sometimes you can even learn from it. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elaine, for sharing with us. Bruce E., please share with us.
Yep, it's Bruce E. Thanks, Kathy. Thank you, everybody on the line. Thank you, Vision. I'm grateful for this call and for being recovered today. I live in Fort Myers, Florida, where I'm very grateful to have a place to live. I'm out of my home because of the hurricane, but I got a place to live, so it's nice. Sun's shining. It's a great day. I'm abstinent today. Yeah, I relate to this. I thought Bill said this in a pretty neat way here. He says, drinking assume more serious proportions. That's a kind of a nice business-like way to put it down to a flat-out drunk. So mine went, my food, it once I got started on this addiction, man, I never looked back. I mean, I was... It always got to be more serious proportions. I mean, it either I was eating the food or I was just white knuckling it like crazy. It was driving me nuts. Sometimes all day and all night. Yep. If not eating it all day and all night, thinking about it all that time. It got real serious. And very, very grateful that finally after... I think it's about 8 years of really, really, man, diets and fasting and exercising and weird thinking and hiding it. The lone wolf part of it, I can relate to that because, man, I wasn't going to let anybody know about the food. I mean, I was totally a lone wolf when I was eating because I wasn't going to be doing that with anybody. Nobody's going to find out. I was going to do that on my own. And so I was a lone wolf when it came to the food, that's for sure. Hiding it from my family, and they were hiding it from me. That's kind of weird. So it got down to serious proportions, that's for sure. And so then I got spent about 15 years then in OA and really never got 100% serious about it. I mean, just a meeting a week and, you know, that kind of thing and trying to be on a food plan and not getting rid of all my alcoholic foods and keeping some of those in there. And then I finally got into Vision and found out it's a different way to live. And I put down all my alcoholic foods finally. Took me 2 years to do that. Everything takes me a long time, but I finally get there, and I finally got here. And now it's no alcoholic foods, and it's being on a food plan. And when I got in, I got a sponsor right away, and we started working the steps, started reading the big book, and the obsession and compulsion started to lift, which was tremendous. And then started getting recovered. So, yeah, so that's it for me. I appreciate the call. I thank you, everybody, on it, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E., for your share. Jeannie N., please share with us. Press star one, Jeannie, to unmute.
Hi, Jeannie N. here. Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. My drinking assumed more serious proportions, continuing all day and every night. Wow. I did not realize how serious this disease had become for me once again. My husband, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, was very terminally ill, and I took care of him for about 18 months. And throughout the entire 18 months, I binged day and night. And I didn't know it then, but I sure know it now, how progressive the disease was. I mean, I would, if he wanted anything, I would say, oh, I don't mind, I'll go to the store and get it. You know, and no matter how many times a day, I would make excuses even to go to the store. And even if I had bought stuff to stash away for when I could sneak into other rooms or when he was sleeping, I still bought more, you know. I just didn't have the willingness to come back to OA. I couldn't surrender to find a different way of living. I couldn't even think of that. And my loneliness, I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel anything. I was eating constantly. And I haven't mentioned this to anybody or the doctor, but today I have a serious diagnosis of my stomach, and I truly believe that maybe all the years of compulsive overeating had maybe caused this. And it's something I have to live with for the rest of my life. But with the steps, my program, my sponsor, and my higher power mainly, I know I can get through this. Thank you, all of you, for letting me share, and thank you, everybody, for service.
Thank you, Jeannie. And Diana Y., please share with us.
Hi, this is Diana, and I'm a sugar addict. I certainly became, I can see the progression of my sugar addiction over the years till it became an every night must do. I'm a night eater, and I could wait all day for my binge. And I made sure before leaving work that I thought about what I might have at home and if I needed to stop at the store and get all my binge foods for the night. And it took me, I definitely had a problem with humility. I thought that I just didn't have self-control. And when it came to sugar, I had none. I didn't understand it, why I would keep doing something that would hurt me so much, and learning about the nature of addiction, that is what happens. All you look for is the taking that first bite of the sugar to calm my anxiety and then to keep me company for the rest of the night until I went to sleep. Of course, every night, feeling horrible after all the very toxic sugar items that I ate. And in the morning, sometimes the binge was so bad the night before that I called in sick for work. I just couldn't face it. And I had that sugar hangover. And I did this for 32 years. I've been in program almost 42 years. It took me all those years to learn what the program was about and finally to use the big book, which is what I was supposed to do all along, as a guide to having a happy life. And that's how I sponsor. I sponsor through the big book. I learned the meanings of what Bill was trying to say and how he was so desperate to help addicted people, for his the alcoholics. And it's all down in the big book.
That's kind.
Thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Diana Y. Jan L., please share with us.
Good morning, Vision. Thank you all for doing service. This meeting, Vision for You, was the beginning of my actually learning what recovery really was and what would work for me after 35 years. It says here, my drinking assumed more serious proportions. This was definitely true. I wore it on my body, but I kept it a secret. There was food coming in me everywhere, hidden everywhere. It says I became a lone wolf. Well, you know, I couldn't see my dishonesty and my isolation and everything. I couldn't see anything until I became entirely abstinent and worked the steps. And once I was able to do that, it took quite a few attempts and start overs, but I could see how isolated I always was on the inside. I was either better than or less than my entire life. It says many unhappy scenes. Oh, yeah, many of those. Internally and externally in my marriages and with other people and at work. No real infidelity. Well, you know, my body probably saved me from that. My fantasy life, there was some infidelity, not only in the sexual area, but in just betrayals of people. If I didn't like what you did, you know, I couldn't handle you. Done with that. I thought I was working my program if I just cut you off. Had to do for me. Because I was so self-absorbed. So helped at times by extreme drunkenness. So, yeah, I was so out of it all the time, either eating or down on myself for eating and trying to get clean again so I could get another recovery, which looking back was always abstinence or weight loss. My extreme state of drowning in some aspect of my disease, emotionally, physically, for decades, kept me out of a lot of feelings, and I'm still struggling to know my feelings. I'm starting a workshop this weekend to help me with that. I'm starting a new meeting today, but I couldn't be more grateful today to be recovered. And the only way I got here, for any newcomers, is by not quitting. So I just kept doing it. I was not going to stop, no matter how many startovers I had, once I found Big Book Recovery. And it is the answer. I was in all kind of other OA before, and for me, for this type of compulsive eating that I have, it is the only answer, and it is a life of new honesty, new freedom, new solutions, just amazing. It is what everyone says. And I couldn't really see how bad off I was until I got better. I started to see, but my eyes open every day, and it's a blessing that I can use my story to try to help others and live this life and work at it every day. It is all what I do much of my day, and I'm more than happy to do it. So blessings to all, and thank you all, and have a wonderful Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Jan L. Michelle F., please share with us.
Hi, and thank you for your service. It's Michelle F. as in Foxtrot, calling from Massachusetts. And, you know, it's good that this happens on Valentine's Day, because hearing this made me reflect, you know, my eating got more seriously out of control long before I made it to OA. And it just reminded me of, I was a receptionist, and bosses would say, you know, you're not supposed to have food up here. And I'd have it in my drawer, you know, and I would kind of just ignore them. I wasn't paying attention to my job either. You know, I wasn't being a proper receptionist. And then we moved. And, you know, it also reminded me that I took a lot of it out on my husband. And I blamed him for all my problems. And those, we didn't fight over my eating. We fought over everything else. And, you know, I can do that without having the food. You know, I can have this crazy making behavior abstinently without this program. And I'm just so grateful for OA. I came here from Al-Anon because I had gone to Al-Anon to learn how to deal with my husband. And I recognized pretty quickly that every time I had an argument or came back from Al-Anon, I'd eat. And I accompanied it with a glass of alcohol. And I, you know, it just became, it was one of many little things that said, oh, I have a problem here. So because of OA, I've been married for 31 years now. I have a 31-year relationship. I have a great relationship with my husband. I can still blame my problems on others, but I have my higher power and all of you to keep me right-sized. And I know what to do today. It's not run to the refrigerator. It's face life, my problems, and my feelings head on. And I'm just so grateful. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Before we hear from Robin P., I want to remind those who came on late that we are on page 3, sharing about the second full paragraph, which begins, "My drinking assumed more serious proportions." And after Robin shares, I'll take a few more names. Please go ahead, Robin.
Hi, thanks so much, Kathy. I'm Robin P. Excuse me. And I'm a really grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And, you know, it just seems like it would catch his attention, and it still didn't catch his attention. And, you know, there's a lot of books about Bill and his infidelities, and, you know, it's interesting how he frames it. You know, there are 12-step programs for that now because of him. But, you know, I'm just so grateful. I spend days and nights binging, and just like Russian roulette. Someday, it's just, I would never know what was going to set me off. And I'm so grateful. I recently celebrated 8 years of abstinence, and I'm so grateful. It's because of Vision. Just so grateful to this program. I'm going through a lot right now, and I'm really working the program, and I'm so grateful that I have these tools, and I have 10 steps, and I have outreach calls, and I have my God squad, and just I used to always isolate, you know, when there were problems, and that was so much the disease, you know, and I always remember, you know, that I just get to reach out and reach up, you know, and that's what I'm doing right now. And our dogs got in a, someone let the gate open on Friday, and they got bitten, they got attacked, they were probably, they had a fight with an animal that is deadly to like 90% of dogs, and they live, but they needed major surgery, both of them, and they're living, thank God. And then I found out that my sister and my stepbrother have taken $500,000 from my mom, and it's just, I found that out last night, and it's just, wow, it's just like life on life terms, and working my program so I can stay sane and useful to God and my fellows, and abstinent and recovered today. And, you know, as long as I stay recovered and peaceful and doing my best to be of service to God and my fellows, I get to have a good day no matter what is happening around me. And that's the gift of this program and the steps and all of you and God. So God bless everybody with a very happy, healthy, abstinent Valentine's Day, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Robin P., for your share. Okay, we have time for maybe three more shares. I'll take three names.
Alex K.
Alex K.
Judith
M.
P. Judith M. P. And who was the third?
Honey.
What's the last initial? First initial of your...
N.
Okay, Connie, N. Thank you. Okay, Alex K., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you, everyone, for doing service and being here. Alex K. in California. Compulsive eater recovered just for today. Oh, the disease is progressive and keeps getting worse. My eating got worse and worse. In the beginning, I could have a small recreational binge once in a while and then quickly return to healthy eating, but over time, my binges became bigger and bigger and more frequent, and they weren't so fun anymore. They felt essential. I didn't think I could live without them. And then my life got smaller and smaller as my disease progressed, because most of my time was spent on the disease, obsessing about food, binging or starving, planning, buying food, hiding food, swearing off, throwing food away only to dig it out of the trash, trying not to eat but not being able to stop. I binge every night on tons of sugar and then starve myself the next day to try to make up for it. I just felt so sick and depressed and humiliated and hopeless and helpless. It was a really painful, never-ending vicious cycle. And then as far as the infidelity with another person, but I was having an affair with the food, it was my higher power. It was the most important thing in my life. All my energy and attention was focused on that, and everything else was a very distant second. It felt like there was no way out, but thank goodness I found this program and my higher power, and today my life is completely different and so much better. I'm not hurting myself with food. I'm not struggling and suffering in the disease. Still have the disease, but I'm not suffering in it. And I have my relationship with my husband is better than ever. We're really happy together. And best of all, I have a strong and ever-growing connection with my loving higher power, who I can rely on for everything. So, so grateful. Thank you, everyone. Pass.
Thank you, Alex K. Okay, let's see. Judith N.P., please go ahead. little bit of a correction. My name is Judith S.P. in Maryland, okay. Gratefully recovered for today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Kathy, and everyone for being here. I've been on an earlier meeting, and I heard some wonderful shares, as always. And what pops out at me, I had to look it up. I think I heard it before reading the big book, but my mind, sometimes things fly out. Remonstrance, it means opposing, arguing, fighting in some way. That popped out at me, lone wolf, and he didn't have infidelity because of his drinking. Maybe if he wasn't a drunkard, he would have had infidelity long beforehand. When I read this, I just had a flash of my whole life, really, before recovery. And I was fighting everybody and everything, if not verbally, by passive-aggressive actions, by I can't do this, leave me alone, get away from me. And I also looked up the social nature of wolves. And you may know, I think I did too, but as I said, things fly out of my head, that wolves are very social. The female is the one that takes care of things at home, is dominant, but it's the male who goes out and gets the food and whatever. Not getting into the male-female thing, that, you know, to become a lone wolf really means death, because it's the social pack. It's the connection with others that keep the wolf and the wolf pack thriving. And I was for sure a lone wolf. Earlier in my life, I thought I was just different from everybody, but I kept getting in the ring with everybody. I kept doing social things. But as life went on, I became more and more isolated, more and more of a recluse. And it really hit the crap, I won't say whatever else, hit the fan, was when my night eating was killing my heart and soul. I couldn't take it anymore. And finally, I came into these rooms, and over time, thank you, God, I know that the answer for me is God. Being connected every moment of my entire day that God gives me as a gift to be connected to God. I'm not alone anymore. I've never been alone. God's always been with me, but I haven't had my spiritual eyesight clear enough to feel that relationship. And, you know, I might have been in jail. I might have stolen more than I did, and I might have been humiliated, if not for being so bloated and disgusted by my eating, just as Bill might have had infidelity, but didn't really have it when he was drunk because he was too drunk to get it up, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to pass. I know my time's up. And blessings to all this day of love, as every day is. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Judith M.B. Connie, and we only have 1 minute. Would you like it?
Hi, this is Hani. I'm a compulsive overeater in Miami, Florida. Really happy to be here and just listening to all the shares. You know, at the reading today, my drinking has been more serious proportions. You know, what I could tell you today is what I really feel is that my lying assumed more serious proportions, my omitting, my, you know, just unable to be honest with myself and others, you know, and what that's causing me is to feel like a lone wolf, is to feel like I don't fit in with the normie eaters, and I don't have what it takes to recover with the recovered people. And, you know, the God would and could if he were sought. I mean, I don't even know if I'm honest when I talk to God, you know, and sometimes I think that God knows that, you know, and is waiting for me to come in truth, because I know that when I did come in truth to God, when I did truly, really ask for help, he was there, you know, and the way I feel right now is really just, it's like I'm Okay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Connie. And okay, thank you everyone for sharing and listening today. It's been a real honor and a pleasure to be part of this meeting. We will now close with the readings from the Big Book on page 164 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Would Jody E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, I will. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered in Monterey, California. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.